Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old New Testament passage of Acts. The New Testament passage of Acts in Acts in chapter number 13. The book of Acts and chapter number 13. We are preparing for next week our missions revival, where we're placing a great emphasis on missions and understanding that we need to find our part in what God is doing around the world. Now, before we approach that meeting, it's often wise to define our terms. What do we mean by missionary? What are we expecting those folks to do? What are we looking forward to them to do? And when we say that, we always want to have a biblically defensible position. That means that whatever we believe and whatever we practice, we should be able to open the Bible and defend what we believe and what we're speaking about from God's Word. Well, notice with me, if you don't mind, in the beginning of Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13, and if you don't mind, notice with me in Acts 13, starting at verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord, they fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase here, and then we're going to turn to another passage, and I want you to notice a phrase there. But notice with me in Acts 13 in verse number 2, notice the phrase, "For the work whereunto I called them." For the work whereunto I've called them. This is at the church of Antioch, as the church of Antioch was praying. You know what they were praying, by the way? They were praying and surrendering themselves what God would have them to do. And as they had placed themselves at God's disposal, God says, "I want Barnabas and I want Saul, and I have a work for them to do." Out of a prayer meeting where they were praying and surrendering themselves to the Lord, however you like me to see sit. And God says, "I have a work whereunto I've called them." Now notice with me, as they go on their first missionary journey and through Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 14, notice with me at the end of Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14. And notice with me, at the end of the missionary journey, the first missionary journey, Acts chapter 14, notice with me in verse number 26. Acts 14, verse 26. "And thence sailed to Antioch," that was their sending church, "from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all the things that God had done with them and how he had opened up the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice with me in Acts 14, verse 26, notice this, "the work which they fulfilled." The work which they fulfilled. So in Acts chapter 13, they were at the church of Antioch. They had a prayer meeting where they surrendered themselves. God says, "I want Paul and I want Barnabas. I have a work for them to do." They go to the mission, to the first missionary journey. They come back to their sending church to report what happened. And notice that they had what was recorded, the work which they fulfilled. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message that the work of God is our mission. The work of God is our mission. The work of God is our mission. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come today, we're just asking that you would help us to understand the scriptures, to have a biblically defensible position to explain what we believe a missionary does, what do we believe about missions and what are they, that we could have a biblically clear and defensible idea, but not just so we could have terminology right, but to understand that you're doing a work in our world still. And we want to clearly understand what is that work that needs to be done so we can prepare our hearts for what we could do and find our place in your work. Lord, give us discernment now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and that you would guide and direct us even now. In Jesus' name, amen. We find that dealing with any type of biblical things, we must define our terms because we could use the same term as someone else, but they can mean something completely different than what we mean by it. For example, if we were to ask the common person, even the common religious person, what is a missionary, you would probably get a lot of different answers. Oh, it's someone who goes off and helps people somewhere else around the world. They leave their homes, they leave their families, they go out to a different foreign field and they try to help them out. With what? With medicine, with food, with education, with orphanages. They start, you know, what is it that a missionary is supposed to do? Well, we want to have a clearly defensible position. Today, the word missionary and missions is so misused because it's not defined. We have all kinds of things claiming to be missions now. We had once a lady who came up in a van, came up right before service and said, I am missionary to the small churches of America, and that my job is to go from church to church and play the piano for you beautifully, and you collect an offering for me. I'm your missionary. Is that what a missionary is? I knew some young kids, or I was told of some young kids, that they said, our mission is to the public bathrooms of America. And that what we do is we go to the public bathrooms of America and we write the gospel in the stalls and the walls so when people go use the restroom, they can see the gospel clearly. We're missionaries and we want you to give us missions money so we can continue to travel to the public bathrooms. Is that what a missionary is? There is all kinds of things that would cause you to scratch your head. There are well-meaning people that say we're missionaries to the public school. Okay, what does that mean? Well, we try to give school supplies to all the needy people and say that they came from this church. Is that what missions is? We have people who have say, I'm a missionary, and I do this. I'm a missionary, and I do this. And they're all asking for money from churches. So as we could see that in our religious world, we have to clearly define our terms so we know what we're getting involved in and what the Lord expects from us. Now, in Acts chapter 13, God called Saul and Barnabas during a prayer meeting of a local church as they surrendered themselves to God. God says, I want you and you. I have a work for you to do. They complete their first missionary journey, and the Bible puts at the very end of it, for the work that was fulfilled. So just using logic, we should find somewhere within that first missionary journey that there should be something in the Bible that describes the work they accomplished. What is it that they did on their first missionary journey? If you don't mind, I'd like to show you what is a missionary, what is a missionary expected to be doing, what is the work that God has given them to do. If you don't mind, we actually find this listed out for us in the book of Acts chapter 14. Acts 14, and notice with me in verse 1. Verse 20 for context's sake. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around him, that's Paul, he arose up and came to the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So, and previously he's in Lystra, they stone him, God resurrects him, he walks back into town. When he's done there at Lystra, they now go to the city of Derbe. What happens when they get to this city? And by the way, the same thing that happened in this city is the same thing they did in all of the other cities they did before. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, the very first thing that the missionary is supposed to do is preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. What is the gospel, by the way? Well, the Bible's defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What happens when a missionary goes and preaches the gospel? Well, they explain to the people there that they are sinners, that they have violated God's law, that there is none righteous, no, not one. They explain to those folks and help them to understand because they have violated God's law, they deserve to be separated from God and cast to an awful place called hell. That's the bad news. You cannot have the good news without the bad news. Then they explain that Jesus, who is God, died for them. He lived the same life that you and I lived, went through the same troubles, the same heartbreaks, but he died perfect. They buried him on a borrowed tomb, and he rose again to prove that he was God and to prove that God was satisfied with the payment that was made, that Jesus paid their price. Then they must personally accept the gift that Jesus offered them, the free gift of salvation that Jesus paid their price to give them forgiveness of sins so they could be right with God. So when a missionary first comes to a place, they preach the gospel. They help them to understand that they're sinners. Because of their sins, they have offended a holy, righteous God and deserved an awful place called hell. But Jesus died for them, and that they must personally accept Christ as their Savior. So where every place where a missionary went in the Bible, the very first thing they did is they preached the gospel. By the way, when they preached the gospel, some people accepted, some people did not. Their job is not the results, their job is the action. Did they preach the gospel? Did they present it to as many people as they possibly could as God gives them divine opportunity? So the very first thing they're supposed to do is preach the gospel. Notice as we go on, what is another thing a missionary is supposed to do? Notice with me verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, The missionary's job is not done when he sees people come to know Christ as their Savior. There's another responsibility after that, and that's the responsibility that they taught many. They taught many. This carries with it the idea that they had to teach them how to follow the Lord. We would often call this discipleship. That remember, the great commission that God gave us, the command that God gave all of us to do, if you are saved, we all have this great commission. It's not just for preachers or missionaries, that we are to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Then we're supposed to see them baptized and then teach them the things that they need to know. It's called discipleship. So what did they teach them? They saw them come to know the Lord, then they taught them. Remember, discipleship as we define it, discipleship is developing the habit of obedience to Christ. That everything we do in the Christian life is habits. You get in the habit of praying. You get in the habit of reading your Bible. You get in the habit of going to church. You get in the habit of giving. You get in the habit of forgiving people. You get in the habit of letting things go. You get in the habit of controlling your temper. You get in the habit of being a good husband, a habit of being a good wife. You develop these habits, and these things don't come naturally. You have to be taught these things. And so they weren't expecting these brand new Christians to all of a sudden be super Christians. That's unrealistic. They had to take the time to teach them. We would often call this discipleship. So what is it that a missionary is supposed to do? The first thing they're supposed to do is to preach the gospel. The second thing in the text we see is they taught many. So they just didn't lead them to the Lord, but they took the responsibility to teach them the things of the Christian life to help them develop the habit. Notice, if you don't mind, there's a third thing mentioned in here in verse 22. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must go through much tribulation and enter into the kingdom of God. Notice with me in verse 22, we see this idea of confirming and exhorting. Confirming and exhorting. If you wanted to boil it down to one specific word, we would say accountability. Accountability. They confirmed the souls and exhorting them. What does this mean? Well, this is an extension of discipleship. That with discipleship, what makes discipleship effective? By giving them accountability. Have you been reading your Bible? Have you been praying? This is an important part of the process. Because people don't automatically do right by themselves. They could be well-meaning, but they're not in the habit of it. We tell our people all the time, we invite people to church. Well, why didn't they come? They're not in the habit of going to church. They probably meant to come to church, but Saturday night they stayed up too late, and now they didn't show up Sunday morning. We're trying to help people develop the habit by giving them accountability. Hey, have you been reading your Bible? Have you been praying? Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 22, confirming the souls of the saints and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The idea is that the Christian life is not simple. And it's not easy, but having accountability, having someone checking on you and helping you can help you go through these things as you develop the habit of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. That, remember, our goal is not having a good time on earth. Our goal is what God has for us in the next, the kingdom of God, the millennial kingdom, that we understand we're going to have to stand before God and give an account for our life. And that afterwards, God is going to use us in his kingdom based off of our works for the Lord. The longer that I pastor, the more that I realize my number one job is to prepare people for the judgment seat of Christ and the millennial kingdom. So many people bypass that and think about heaven. Heaven, oh, it's going to be nice. We're just going to, you know. But we have a pit stop between here and there. And that it is a big deal. That what you do in this life does matter. And that we don't have time to waste. Now is the time to get busy for it. And we, as disciplers, have a responsibility to prepare people for the judgment seat of Christ. Standing before Christ and preparing for it. How do we do this? By accountability. Have you been reading your Bible? Have you been praying? By confirming and exhorting. Confirming and exhorting. So what is it that a missionary is supposed to do? Well, the Bible says that they are to preach the gospel. They go to a place, they go to an area, and they present the gospel in a clear way, helping them to understand that they're a sinner. Because of their sin, they violate it and God's principles, God's laws, and that they deserve a punishment. But that Jesus died for them and they must personally accept Christ as their Savior. But we just don't leave it there. Afterwards, they begin to teach many. They begin to disciple them and help them develop the habit of obedience to Christ. With it, we have the confirmation exhortation that we apply accountability, helping them be accountable, helping them develop those habits, helping them to go on in those hard times where I don't feel like reading my Bible. Well, let's do it anyways. You know, we've all gone to the gym, or some of us have gone to the gym, and it's much easier to go to the gym with a partner than do it by yourself. Because if you wake up and don't feel like going, well, I'm not going. But if you have someone who's going with you, the days that you don't feel strong, they will help you go even though you don't feel like it, but you need to. Having that accountability help you to read your Bible. There's not a single super Christian in here that's always felt like reading your Bible. But if you know someone's going to check on you, it helps you to read your Bible the days you don't feel like you're going to read it. There are days that we don't feel like going to church. But knowing that someone's going to check up on you helps us to go even the days we don't feel like it. Accountability is not a bad thing. It is a wonderful thing to help us through those tough times. And it's a very important part of developing a young Christian to be what they ought to be. So the very first thing that a missionary is supposed to do is to teach the gospel, or to preach the gospel. Second, we see that they taught many. Then we see confirming the souls and exhorting, giving them accountability. They preach the gospel, they provide discipleship, and they provide accountability. But that's not all. There's still more that a missionary is expected to do. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting. So what happened? So these missionaries would go and they would lead people to the Lord by preaching the gospel. They would take these people that they led to the Lord and they would disciple them, teaching them the things they need to know and provide accountability to help them develop the habit of obedience to Christ. From the group of people that they had taught and that were now obedient to Christ, they would then choose elders from them. They didn't outsource an elder. By the way, the biblical idea of an elder is a pastor. So from the people that they won to the Lord and that they discipled, they also trained how to pastor or shepherd that flock, so that way a local church would be established. Remember, the goal a missionary has is not to be the pastor of that church forever. The goal of a missionary is to help train people to take his spot, to carry on the work without him, to ordain elders, to bring the people that said God has a call in their life, God has something for them. They are surrendered to whatever God would have them to do, to bring them to the place of leadership, to teach them how to shepherd and pastor them, and then place them in charge. Well, what happens to the missionary afterwards? That's a good question. So far, what does a missionary do? They go to a place and they preach the gospel. Then they teach many. Then they confirm the souls and exhort. Then they ordain elders. So out of the group of people that they led to the Lord and they discipled, from that group, they train someone to take that church and to be responsible for it. Then the hardest thing the missionaries have to do is next, verse 23. And when they ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them, that church, to the Lord on whom they believed. The word commend is an important word. It carries the picture of taking your hands off. They commended them to the Lord. What a missionary is supposed to do is go to a place and preach the gospel. As they preach the gospel and people get saved, they teach them. They disciple them. They provide accountability. They confirm and exhort the souls. Then they train someone from the midst of them to be the pastor, to be the leadership of the church, to be in the positions to help that church move forward. Then once that church has that leadership structure, the pastor or the head, the church is going to be able to care for itself. They take their hands off of it and say, God, it is your church, not mine. There, you have to take care of this church, not me. It is the hardest thing they had to do. That word commend carries with it an Old Testament Bible picture as well. That Jochebed was the mother of Moses. And the hardest thing she ever had to do was to realize that they were going to kill her son if she kept him. So they made an ark of bulrushes, put the baby in the Nile River, and pushed it. And said, God, you take care of my child. If he lives, it's your business. If he dies, that's your business. Wherever he goes, that's your business. Jochebed had never had an expectation of seeing her son ever again. He was completely in God's hands. You understand that was the hardest thing she ever had to do, was to take her hands off and trust God with her son. For a missionary, he loves these people. He invested in them. He taught them. He trained them. He cared for them. He brought them to the place where they're now in leadership. then the hardest thing he has to do is take his hands off and say, no, you have to find the answers for yourself. I'm glad to advise from time to time, but you have to be taught how to look for God's answers yourself. You need to be taught how to read the Bible for yourself, to see God's will for yourself, that you have to look to him. And God, you have to trust them. You have to take care of them. Lord, I take my hands off. Then what does a missionary do? He goes somewhere else and does the very same thing. He goes to a different place and preaches the gospel, disciples, confirms the souls of the saints, ordains elders there, take his hands off, and he goes and does it somewhere else. If we were to make a definition, what is a missionary? It would basically be an itinerant church planter. An itinerant church planter. So with that, do you have to go to a foreign field in order to be a missionary?
No.
We understand there is a ministry of church planting. This church, the Riverview Baptist Church, was started by a church planter who after here went and was privileged to start two more churches. After that, he's working on number three. And the idea of number three is that he's not going to be the long-term pastor. He's trying to pray and train someone to take that work. Praise the Lord for itinerant church planters, that we have itinerant church planters in different places around the world. What are we expecting our missionaries to do? We have a good number of missionaries. What is it that we're expecting them to do? We're expecting each one of them to follow this biblical pattern. We're expecting them to go into a place and preach the gospel. Then as they preach the gospel, we are expecting them to take the time to disciple them, to teach them, to train them, providing accountability with the expectation that the missionary cannot be there forever. And that the missionary is going to see leadership come from those people he taught. Not bring in someone from the outside, but from their own ranks to train them. By the way, that should be true of every pastor. Every pastor is trying to disciple people and trying to train people to take this church. Because I can't pastor here forever. And we don't want the church to die because we don't have a pastor. We want someone to be trained. It could be one of these young boys one day who's going to be the pastor of the Riverview Baptist Church. It could be that God is working. Maybe someone who's not even led to the Lord yet. Maybe someone who's freshly led to the Lord and hasn't even been through discipleship. But God is going to raise them up and raise up leadership and raise up more Sunday school teachers and assistant to the pastor and other people. That we're not looking for outsourcing. It's from our own ranks that God is trying to train us and trying to work with us. With the idea that one day that church must continue and that someone needs to be trained and prepared to take that work so it continues on. This is the idea of every missionary, and this is the idea of every local church. By the way, local churches should be giving birth to local churches. How does that happen? Well, following this. If we were to see a church started from this local church, it would start by us going into an area and leading people to the Lord. And in that local area, beginning a Bible study and beginning discipleship in that local area. And in that local area, enough people gather together to have a congregation as we confirm the souls and whatnot. And from that local congregation to be able to see a pastor raised up, leadership raised up, that can make that a local church and we take our hands off of and go start somewhere else. Because of this, we ourselves are expected of God. Where are churches in Green Bay going to come from? Not outsourcing, but this sourcing. That if we want to see a church started in every village and every town, it starts with us obeying the same thing. That we have to be responsible for our own area. We need to adopt an area for ourselves. We need someone to say, praise the Lord, the mission field that God has given me is Oneida. Oneida is the mission field. Those are my people. Those are the people I'm concerned over. These are the people that God led me to. Remember that God doesn't lead people necessarily to a location as much as he leads you to a people. Amen. God led me to the people of Alloway. God led me to the people of Ashwaubenon. God led me to the few people in Black Creek. God led me. That we understand, we can see churches started. You say, well, they're never going to be like 200. God never commanded us to reach churches. If a small congregation like this can still see the work done when we make God's work our mission. God has given me this area, and I've got a burden for this area, and it's my responsibility, not pastors, not someone else, my responsibility to make sure the gospel is preached to every person in this area that I'm concerned over. And that God has given me the responsibility to start discipling people who are in this area. And I'm praying that God would raise up someone, and that we could get see a little congregation, and it may just be a handful of people. But that little congregation can raise up and see a pastor be trained from there and another little church started. The work of God is our mission. By the way, it is hypocritical for us to expect missionaries to do this out in the field and us not do it here. The work of God is our mission. Now, the people in Brazil, the people in Japan, the people everywhere else, they have an excuse. They haven't been taught. For many of you, you've been in church for a while. We have a responsibility. Every one of us have a mission to do. It's, are we surrendering to what God is already doing in this world? God, what people have you sent me to reach? This is my people. To make that your mission field. That it's, this is what the area that I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for this area. And I'm going to, with God's help, see it reached for the Lord. I want to see a church started here. You know, if we got a burden like this, wonderful things would happen. God could do some amazing things. We need to all be missionaries going out into the field that God sent us to. With expectation. Does a missionary go to the field expecting never to see a church started? No. Well, then he's wasting his time if he is. He's going there for the purpose to see God do something. Can God see you do something? Can God use you in your area? Absolutely. The work of God is our mission. As we're defining our terms, though, the idea of a missionary that we as a local church are going to support is missionaries who are going out with the expectation that they're going to go teach, preach the gospel, teach many, confirm the souls and exhort, ordain elders, then commend them to the Lord and go start another church. We know that there are mission assist programs. They are not missionaries, but missionaries need Bibles. So we're, praise the Lord, that we have a couple print shops that we could help support the area of missions by making sure Bibles get to those missionaries. Those are not missionaries themselves per se, but their missionary support helps, and we're thankful for them to help equip those missionaries. For us, ourselves, we have a responsibility of reaching our area for the Lord. The work of the Lord is our mission. So what do you do with a message like this? Well, it's easy to do the easy thing and say, all right, I know what missions are. I'm going to pray for missionaries. Great, wonderful. And I hope you do. But the idea is, what is God drawing you to? The key is, will you surrender? God is always doing a work, and he has a work for all of us to do. But will you surrender to what God has you to do to reach a people that he desires to reach? Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God and a simple message, but yet a simple message could be very profound when we let it affect us. That we need to know what we expect out of missionaries, but we also need to know what missionaries expect out of us as a local church. That we should be seeing birth other local churches. And as we train people and as we reach people with the gospel, as we take the responsibility to disciple them and provide accountability and see people rose up to leadership, people trained and taking their place inside of local churches, we can see other local churches in our area come to birth because you gave birth to them through this local church. Help us to remember that the work of the Lord is our mission. You have a work to do here, just like we're expecting them to do out there. Maybe you are not surrendered yet. We've talked about surrender today a couple different times. God has a work for you to do, and it is important work. Now, you may say, well, I'm not trained yet. Well, praise the Lord, surrender to training. Well, I'm not discipled yet. Well, then surrender to discipleship. Well, I'm not currently discipling someone. Well, surrender to that. Lord, whatever you would have me to do in this area of your work, send me, use me, put me to work. And if it happens to be that you want me somewhere else to see a church started, praise the Lord, I surrender to that. Lord, I'm asking that you would use this as a birthing ground for other churches as we, the people that's here, surrender ourselves to what you want to get accomplished. Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for a work that I have for them. And then they came back and gave a report on the work that they had fulfilled. The work of God is our mission. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.